Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back with you. I just thank the Lord for his grace and mercy. Remember that. We're going to talk about mercy a little later. If you're excited about Jesus and you're just thankful for another day to be a part of what he has made, can you just give God a hand clap of praise? Maybe those hands, if you're on the chat, those emoticons, lift up those hands, just thanking him for another day of life. We have been blessed at Ebenezer. God has done exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think. He has made us living epistles, literally, as we walk out his mandate in this world to share the good news, the gospel that Jesus Christ died for sinners like us, but yet he got up on the third day with all power and glory. People need to have hope. People need to hear the message of Christ. So I encourage you to carry that out. We've got so many things at ebcnc.com to encourage you. We have our Monday Bible studies, our Tuesday Bible studies, our Wednesday Bible studies that are online. All of them are coming from different books. On our Monday nights, we have different teaching and trainings that are going on. On Tuesdays, we're in the book of Genesis in our noonday Bible study. And on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock on our virtual connection, we're going through the book of Hebrews. So it has been a blessing. Special announcement for our in-person Bible study. We're on a community mission now. So they are working on a group project. So we will start back our in-person Bible studies on June 6th. June 6th, that's the first Thursday in June. So our group, we've got them working on some community missionary projects, and it's taking some days to get through that. So I encourage you, put it on your calendar if you want to be a part of our in-person Bible studies. We are rebooting, starting back on June 6th at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. I want to thank you so much for your prayers for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online. The Lord has been doing amazing things. Please, please don't stop praying. If you notice in my backdrop here, it is about a man. I don't know if you can see him, but it's a man. He is coming out of darkness into the light. Keep that in mind. We're going to go back and deal with guilt and shame today. Back to the basics. Also, finally, I want to thank you for your giving. Thank you so much for being people that can give purpose in their heart and not give grudgingly or necessity, but give because they're cheerful. They are thankful. I was at a restaurant the other day, and I was just thankful. I was like, God, thank you that we can even go out and we can purchase food, even with the prices seem to be raising in a lot of areas. And also someone sent me an article about homelessness that is exponentially rising. And there are places in Greensboro that are literally, they're running out of space, running out of staff. It's just causing a lot of issues. So I don't want you to ever take for granted how God has blessed you. Well, I'm thinking about the Word of God, and I am ready to get in it. I want you to be in prayer and let God prepare your heart to receive a word from him. We'll see you soon.
The scripture is going to be coming from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. And this is from the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near.
Like you never known. things go bad, don't lose faith. Boy, you're never alone. Oh, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good time is still God in the bad time. The God of the day is still God in the night. Now you talk of faith when you up on the mountain. But talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But down in the valley, there's trials and temptation. And that's when your faith is really put to a test. The God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of a good time is still God in the valley. Is there God in the night? The God of the day is there God in the night?
It is so good to know that God is in charge. Any amens out there, He is in charge. Before we go any further, I want us just to go in a time of prayer where I want you to pray also. You know, I go through my prayer and connect with the Lord, but I want you to receive also from Him. So would you pray with me? Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for who you are. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to even peruse your word. Lord, now we ask you to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who are listening and viewing now that may not know you. I pray that today be their day. Lord, we need you to show up in a powerful way. Would you help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them experience that grace through faith and not of themselves, but that gift that you're so willing to give. Thank you for that, Father. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach and guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Lord, there are people that are listening, your saints that are living with different styles of learning, God. And I ask you to speak to them, whether they're visual learners, Father God, or they like to hear directly auditory, Father God, those different sounds, maybe kinetic. They just got to touch something. Would you do a miracle today for them? Lord, we just thank you for your word today. And we just lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put in the chat? Amen. God is so good. So we're getting back to the basics, and we've been going through this topic, and then we've been having subtopics. The subtopics were given to me by a group of young people from our church and also outside our church. And so it has been a blessing. It's challenged me to go back through some of the teachings and trainings that I've done years before and be able to bring them back up. And one of those was guilt and shame. We've been there a good little bit, but the Lord just keeps keeps unfolding. And so I want to kind of just make sure that I get all that the Lord has put on my heart. And so today we're going to be dealing with that again. But first, let's go back to our memory scripture, James 1:26 and 1:27. We've been speaking this aloud so that we can get it into our mind and it can seep down into our heart. So James 1:26 and 1:27, if you would read it aloud with me. If anyone amongst you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I tell you, that is a tough scripture, especially when we began to apply it to our lives. So let's get back into this subtopic of back to the basics, guilt and shame, guilt and shame. Last time we were together, we were actually in 2 Samuel chapter 12. That 11 chapter and 12 really follows through that saga of David. Remember, he kills Bathsheba's husband so that he can move Bathsheba into the palace because she's pregnant. And so it is a whole cover up that God has to deal with, that guilt and shame. That 2 Samuel 12:7, then Nathan said to David, prophet, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. And that title on last time was, I almost got away with it. Almost got away with it. Remember, Nathan comes in and he has a word from the Lord. He gives a parable and David puts judgment, but the judgment is actually coming on himself. And Nathan points out, you are the man. And so from there, David is broken. He asks for forgiveness. And so today we're actually going to pick up a Psalm of David. So if you've been going with us in our chronological reading, you can understand a lot of times you can have something from 2 Samuel, but a Psalm will actually connect to that. And that's what we're going to be doing because we want to see what happens when we follow the path that God has for us to bring us out of guilt and shame. When we confess our sins and we give it to the Lord, how does God restore us? And this particular psalm that we're dealing with today will do that. I'm going to be using the Contemporary English Version today just to give us more clarity on these portions of scriptures that I'll be dealing with. So let's go to Psalms 32:5. Psalms 32:5. It reads, so I confessed my sins and told them all to you. I said, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. Then you forgave me and took away my guilt. I want you to hear that again. I want you to really open up for the Spirit to speak to you. I believe this is going to be a challenge for us as we look at our lives and we allow the Holy Spirit to peer into those deep recesses. So I confessed my sins and told them all to you. I said, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. Then you forgave me and took away my guilt. I want to speak from a title today, Out of the Darkness into the Light. Out of the darkness into the light. So often in our lives, we can hide from our guilt and shame. We can live a life of darkness. Let's jump into a song. Hank Williams, he sang this and really sums up where we're going today in dealing with this out of darkness into the light. Hank Williams, he said, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Any praise the Lord's out there? Just like a blind man, I wandered along worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. And I love that chorus. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Today's lesson, that's what we're going to be centering on as we deal with the transition of David living in darkness. Now he's being brought to the light. Time frame again is 1000 BC, approximately there. So we dealt with this, that whole thought pattern that this psalm that we're getting into is a psalm of repentance. This is a psalm that David actually, led of the Holy Spirit, writes out his feelings, writes out his emotions, and we're able to learn from this particular psalm. Actually, as you look at the scriptures and into some of your earlier versions of the Bible, this is called a maskil, a maskil. And what a maskil in the Hebrew, it means instruction. This is a psalm of instruction. Therefore, we're supposed to learn from it. We're supposed to learn from the experiences of David, learn how God is teaching him and training him, and we're going to apply this to our lives. Let's jump into this section, Psalms 32, 1 and 2. It says, our God, you bless everyone whose sins you forgive and wipe away. You bless them by saying, you told me your sins without trying to hide them, and now I forgive you. I tell you, that's a blessing. It feels good, don't it? Here's the point. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed? I really want you to write this out. I got some quick typers out there. I want you to put in the chat right now. Do you want to be blessed? And make sure you get that question mark there. And if you're not on the chat, I want you to just say it. Say it to yourself. If you're with somebody, can you talk to each other? Say, do you want to be blessed? It seems obvious that we want to be blessed, but yet the enemy can trick us. He can bamboozle us. He can get us into a place that we're saying in our mind that we want to be blessed, but subconsciously we're doing something else. It's like an addict addicted to something, and they're telling you that they're not addicted, and everybody knows they're addicted. Or maybe they recognize that they're addicted, that they're doing harm, and they say, I'm going to change, but yet they continue to go back to those ways that cause pain. And something has to break. And here, David has come to the breaking point. And I ask you again, do you want to be blessed? You are a happy, happy, happy person when your transgressions are forgiven. But when God wipes away those sins of the past and you come out of guilt and shame, I'm telling you what joy God places in our heart. I'm talking about coming out of darkness into the light. David had covered his grievous sins for such a long time. I'm going to talk about it more, but it was about a year that he struggled with this. He just was running from it. He thought he could cover it up. But Proverbs 28:13 says it like this. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. David, the only way he was going to progress, the only way that he was going to grow in the Lord was to confess his sins. And I speak that to you. If there's something in your life that you're holding on to, you're living in guilt and shame, the only way you're going to get ahead is to give that to the Lord. You may be feeling right now, you're like, Pastor, you know, I'm taking two steps forward, but yeah, it seems like I take four steps back. You can't get anywhere like that. And the reason is God is like, I need you to give up those things that you're hiding from. We often hide our sins. Can you put in the chat, hide? We do, H-I-D, we hide, and wherever you're standing to say hide, we hide because so many times we feel like that we trick God, we feel like that nobody knows, but the problem with deceiving others, listen to me, the problem with deceiving others is that we often fall in the same ditch. We do. We're deceiving others by hiding our sin and pretending like everything is okay. But the problem is we deceive ourselves. We trick ourselves into thinking that it's going to be all right. And it's not going to be all right. Jesus taught in Matthew 15:14, he says, let them alone. They are blind teachers of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Do you want to be blessed, coming out of darkness into the light? Look at Psalms 32:3 with me. Before I confessed my sins, David, he speaks this. He says, my bones felt limp. I groaned all day long. Night and day, your hand weighed heavily on me, and my strength was gone as in the summer heat. Here's the point. It's too heavy for you. Yes, it is too heavy for you. You're not able. I am telling, I've seen lives broken simply because they did not give their sins to the Lord. I've seen them try to carry the weight. It's the picture of an old elderly man, and his muscles become weak, and then all of a sudden you give him a strong or heavy package. He can't handle that. It really weighs on him, and then even if he can hold it, you tell him to walk a couple of miles with it, he's going to be bowed down. It's going to break him down. This is what happens when we try to carry our sins. We weren't made to carry sins. We were made literally to worship God and to walk in his holiness. Because sin was introduced within the Garden of Eden, we see that mankind has been plagued by this, but God has given us a way to come out of darkness into the light. Theologian McDonald writes a challenging summary of what's going on here within the scriptures. After David, he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and plotted the death of Uriah, he steadfastly refused to confess his sins. He tried to sweep it all under the rug. Perhaps he rationalized that time heals all things. But in his stubborn refusal to break, he was fighting against God and against his own best interests. He became a physical wreck. And it was all caused by his unrelieved anguish of spirit. He realized that God's hand was heavy upon him, blocking him, thwarting him, frustrating him at every turn. Nothing worked out right anymore. The gears of life never mess. The carefree days had vanished, and continued existence was as unappealing as an arid wilderness. You ever felt like that? Because sin, and you're like, everybody else thinks it's okay, but you've got guilt and shame, and it's tearing you apart from the inside out. Look at this Psalm 32:4 again. Night and day, your hand weighed heavily upon me. This is so important. David brings out that he felt the hand of God in that year that he was struggling with his own sin and trying to hide it. He could feel the hand of God. And that's what you may be going through right now. If you don't confess that sin, God is trying to do all he can do to get you to the point of repentance. God doesn't want you to have to carry that. He doesn't want you to hide in guilt and shame. He doesn't want you to deceive others. He wants you to come out of darkness into the light. Look at Psalms 32:5. So David said, I confessed my sins and told them all to you. I said, I'll tell the Lord each one of my sins. Then you forgave me and took away my guilt. That man, that's a strong scripture. Here's the point. Take your burdens to the Lord. Yes, take your burdens to the Lord. I thank God. I thank God for counselors. I thank God for pastors. And oftentimes I know I have to do counseling where people will confess things, but ultimately it's not me. I can't forgive you. This is not a Catholic thing that we're doing where I can say you're forgiven of your sins and all that. No, I realize that only Jesus can forgive you of your sins. Charles Al Talbert, in 1906, he wrote these lyrics. He said, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You've got to take that burden, that sin, directly to the Lord. Remember, again, it took a year's journey here of him struggling, going back and forth, trying to cover it, trying to get everything in place to make everybody believe that everything was fine. But with inside of him, that sin, that darkness was deeper and deeper. 1 John 1:9 gives us the prescription of getting out of darkness into the light. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unright. I don't know about you, but that's some good news to know. God says, I'm here with open arms and I want you to come to me. Paul the Apostle, he actually piggybacks on the thought of David. He actually quotes some portions of this in Romans 4:6, just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. I tell you, bring your burdens to the Lord, coming out of darkness into light. We are blessed when we understand it's God. He's the only one that can wash away our sins. You can actually come out of guilt and shame and give it to the Lord. Look at Psalm 32:6. We worship you, Lord. And we should always pray whenever we find out that we have sinned. We got to pray. Then we won't be swept away by a raging flood. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble, and you put songs in my heart because you have saved me. Here's the point. Sing to the Lord. Yes, sing to the Lord. God wants to take you out of that darkness into the light, and he wants you to be able to sing. He wants you to be able to praise him because now that burden has been lifted out. Some of you exercise, and maybe you're in strength training. You're building muscle, and in that, you find out what they do is they'll give you some weight, and you'll build on that weight, and they tell you to let down that weight, and when you let down that weight, you do that same exercise. You feel so free. You feel light because you've given up that burden. That's what happens when we give our sins to the Lord. We lay that burden down and we say, God, I thank you for delivering me and setting me free. Now we can worship and praise God and sing songs to him. I find out even in the midst of a virtual connection and even in our in-person service, the reason people don't really praise and worship because there's unconfessed sins. We can be entertained. We want somebody to sing to us. We want to see others and we'll clap our hands. But in order to enter in, please hear me, we have to be cleansed from the inside. Inside out. Look at Psalm 32:6. We worship you, Lord, and we should always pray whenever we find out that we have sinned. Saints, don't carry it. Don't wait a year with it. When you mess up, go directly to the Lord. The enemy will speak to you. He'll say, don't go. You'll be all right. It's just a little sin. There is no little sin, big sin. It is just sin, and God has given us prescription to come to him so that we can walk out of that guilt and shame. But I am so glad when we come to him, God has prescribed to us mercy. Can you just say mercy? Put in the chat, mercy, 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 mercy. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. I'm telling you, I need mercy. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. Are any amens out there say, yeah, Pastor, I need mercy. I want mercy from God because I realize that all sin can send me to hell. All sin can send you to hell. We got some stuff that we done forgot about that's there, but God has put mercy and grace on our side. Dr. Tony Evans, he gives us a great picture of this when he wrote this. He says, justice is getting what you deserve, mercy not getting what you deserve. I'll read it again. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. He went on, he told this story about a little kid that had asked his mom for a peanut butter sandwich. And you know, like good moms and dads, the mom went ahead and made that peanut butter sandwich. But in making that peanut butter sandwich, she found some jelly and she put it on, and the little boy didn't know it. So the little boy got the sandwich and bit in it. And the little boy with wide eyes looked at the mom and said, you put jelly on it too. That's what God wants to do. He wants to answer our prayers, and he wants to in return bless us even more. That's what we're talking about, that mercy. Evans goes on and says, you know what mercy is? Mercy is when God not only gives you what you ask for, but he adds a little extra on it too. There ought to be some shouts of praise, some hallelujah, some hands lifted up. He gives you more than you deserve. This is where David is. David deserved death, but I am so glad for a God that can have mercy. Can you put in the chat again? Mercy, mercy, mercy. Many years later, God would speak to David's son Solomon on the benefits of mercies in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. We just got to pray. We got to go to him. Isaiah the prophet, he speaks in Isaiah 55:6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. We got to get back to the Lord, and he will have, there it is again, mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's good news to know. God is saying, I've got a way out. I can bring you out of darkness into light. In verse 6, we read, then we won't be swept away by a raging flood. You may have felt that when we hide from God and we cover our sin, it feels like a flood is just sweeping us away. But But all these storms that have been going on, there have been floods literally going through cities and areas where people have been swept away. That's what our sins will do to us if we don't confess them to the Lord. David says the floods of the disasters should have overtaken him. He said, I should have been wiped out. I should have lost my mind. I should have lost the kingdom and everything. But because of mercy, there ought to be some say mercy again. Isaiah again gives us an insight into this portion of scripture in Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, hear me, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up or lift up a standard against him. He wants to bring us out of darkness into the light. Look at Psalms 32:8. You said to me, I will point out the road that you should follow. I will be your teacher and watch over you. Don't be stupid like horses and mules that must be led with ropes to make them obey. Here's the point. The righteous road. Yes, the righteous road. There is a road that leads to or in God's will, but there's also a road that leads to destruction. When you hide from your sins, when you choose to live in guilt and shame, you're on the road to destruction. We want to get you out of the darkness into the light. We want to get you on that righteous road. Most theologians hold that verse 8 and 9 are God's direction to David, who has yielded to the will of God. So he's finally come to the point. He's repented of his sin. Now he's yielding to the will of God. I think sometimes we can repent of our sins, but we don't realize repentance, it actually entails when we look at the thought pattern, especially in the Greek, is that, yes, you confess that sin, but now you change. You don't confess a sin and continue in it. You confess it, but now you're changing. You're coming out of it. Only God can do that. But he goes on to give a warning in Psalm 32:9. Listen to this. Don't be stupid like horses and mules that must be led with ropes to make them obey. We got to realize God is God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He can use whatever a circumstance he wants to break us down. He can. And the psalmist is up to the point. He's like, realize God just wants you to obey him because he loves you. And you realize that he is right. Theologian Farstead, he comments and writes on this. He says, do not be like the horse, restless to move ahead without command, or like the mule, obstinately refusing to go even when directed. Both animals need the bit and bridle in order to make them submissive and obedient. The believer should be so sensitive to the Lord's leading that he does not need the harsher disciplines of life to bring him into line. We should be excited, plumb excited, to be on the righteous road. We should say, God, thank you. Keep me in your will. Lord, your will be done. Help me to hear your voice. God, I want to be sensitive to your presence. I want to be sensitive to everything that you're saying. David confirms this in Psalms 119:101. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. That's what it's about. It's about staying in line on that righteous word with God's word directing us. And that 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. 103, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. And Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Coming out of darkness into the light, that's what we want for our lives. That's what God is speaking to us. Look at this final section, Psalms 32:10. All kinds of troubles will strike the wicked, but your kindness shields those who trust you, Lord. And so your good people should celebrate, and shout. Here's our final point. Let's celebrate. I tell you, when God brings you out of darkness into the light, how can you not celebrate who he is? Man, you just got to realize it was by grace that we came out. It was by grace and his mercy, as we talked about earlier, that we were able to stand, that we're here today because all of us have messed up. We can celebrate what God has done for us. We can celebrate his kindness to us, his love that he's shown to us. Those who stay in wickedness actually hide from shame and guilt and have much trouble in their lives. They're always going through this cycle of trouble, and the enemy is laughing because he feels like he has them and they're all locked up. But let me tell you about the man from Galilee who wants to set you free. I'm telling you, even as we transition from this psalm today, I got to get to the cross of Calvary, because Jesus spoke in John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The only way you can get out of darkness to the light, you got to go to the one who is light. John 12:46, he says, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me and should not abide in darkness. When we really embrace what Jesus Christ has done, we can't help but live a life of light and righteousness and love, because he changes us from the inside out. I'm telling you, that's why he had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and cried out three times and said, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. That's why he had to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, a time of darkness, where he goes down the Via Dolorosa and they beat him and they spit on him. He makes his way to the cross of Calvary, but I'm so glad I know the end of the story. But something miraculous happened. We're talking about coming out of darkness into the light. Let me show you in Luke 23:44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened. Isn't it amazing? God needed to bring us into light, but he had to turn things dark so that we could understand what he was doing on the cross of Calvary. And the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said to Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. There are be some saints say, thank you, Lord. He dies on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but the good news, he gets up on the third day with all power and glory for you and for me. And now he's seated on the right hand of the Father, praying for us so that we can come out of darkness into the light. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever guilt and shame and has built up over time. Some of you have some sins that have been crusted over. You've just gotten hard. It's made you, your character is just hard now because you've been hurt so bad, and you've struggled and you've covered up these sins and you're just trying to make it, and you feel like I just can't get ahead, and you're contemplating various ways of getting out, and it's not going to work. And let me tell you, it's not going to work for you. The only way you're going to get out of this is take it to the Lord. The only way you're going to come out of darkness and light, you got to be open. You got to confess your sins, and he's faithful. He's just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you don't know Christ today, I encourage you. We talked about that. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. It said you will be saved. It's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Embrace that gift. He is giving it freely. Jesus has paid it all for us on that cross of Calvary. He died, but he got up on the third day with all power and glory. And guess what? He's coming back again. And I can see that day steadily approaching. So accept him. You need a savior. And I encourage you, once you've accepted him, ask him in your heart. You'll feel the change occurring. Connect with a fellowship. Tell somebody that Jesus lives in you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you for your power. Lord, as we prayed before we started, that you would speak to us individually. Lord, we do not want to live in guilt and shame any longer. We do not want to carry our sins any longer. Lord, we bring them to you. Lord, I just thank you that today is a day of deliverance. Today is a day of freedom. Today, your saints are walking out of darkness into that marvelous light. I thank you for testimony after testimony of your grace and mercy. We just give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Just
a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak, but thou.